This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
We want some tough, some gritty, some dirty individuals, and we feel pretty good about the two guys we got.
They're tough, they're gritty, and they're dirty. It's not gritty, like the mascot Gritty.
Every time I just mentally picture Gritty turning around with his googly eyes with that head whip.
But they could have tough and dirty. Maybe those could be, you know, it could be staley and then tough, like T-U-F-F, and then it could be dirty.
The morning show had a lot of layers, but Brandon Fryer playing the instrumental of Dirty by Christina Aguilera in connection with that soundbite was everything this morning.
Sean Hammond, you know that name from his work at Shaw Media, but now you will know him from his work at the Chicago Tribune. He is the new Bears beat reporter for them. He's on Twitter at Sean_Hammond and with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Sean, congratulations. This is very cool.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think it's pretty cool too. I'm super excited to get going here.
Yeah, once you announced the news, I immediately said we needed to have you on. So welcome. That's how this works. Sorry to be a creep there, but I just thought it was the best mode of operation.
No, I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm all for it. I love it.
You've covered the Bears, though, for a long time. We know that. So what is your impression just of what you heard yesterday out of Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, and Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson?
Yeah, so I was on the beat for 5 years at Shaw Media, so this definitely isn't my first rodeo, but certainly lots of positive vibes at this time, as there always is in March, right? You know, you got some veteran guys coming in the room, you got some guys who have been around the block. I think that's a good thing for this team. I think that's kind of notable, just the way that Ryan Poles had been building this group the first couple of years that he was in charge. You know, the focus was on getting young guys, getting athletic guys, especially in those trenches. And I think it's kind of a shift to bring in a Joe Tooney, to bring in a Grady Jarrett. Those are guys who are, you know, don't fit that mold of sort of what they were looking for those first couple of years of the quote unquote rebuild. And definitely their veteran experience is going to bring something to the table that the Bears were missing last year.
I'm glad you brought up the body type too when you talk about athletic. I know they love relative athletic score, and they've gotten some guys who also score high on it. But I think it's worth bringing up in the way that they tried to build this team. It was more, you know, we talked a lot about traits and tape. What was your impression of how they put it together initially, knowing that it was a little less prototypical than what we had seen out of other teams?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when Ryan Poles came in, like you said, they wanted those young athletic guys who could move laterally left to right, to try to run the scheme that they wanted to run with Luke Getsy and Matt Eberflus. And, you know, you can add as much young talent as you want. I think you were still missing some of that veteran experience. You know, I think that when your big offensive line addition is a Nate Davis, who at the time was 26 years old, still, pretty young dude, that you might have an athletic line, but you don't have that same experience. I looked this up the other day, the starting five, week one, 2024 at the start of last season, 164 combined starts together in the NFL. Joe Tooney alone has 146 plus another 20 in the playoffs. You're bringing in guys who absolutely have been there before. You're exponentially adding to the level of experience you have on that offensive line. And I think that's going to really help while you still want some of those, obviously Darnell Wright's going to be a part of this team moving forward. Braxton Jones is under contract for another year. You still want those young athletic dudes, but I think it's really going to help when you have some experience standing next to them.
I'm interested to see how the roster is constructed on the offense and what it's going to say about personnel grouping usage. How much 11? How much 12? Might there be 13 personnel involved here? And how many wide receivers do they want on the roster? How many tight ends do they want? And how are they going to view the way these targets are going to be distributed? What do you think? What are your speculations?
Yeah, I mean, you just look at what they did last year and what Keenan Allen was for Caleb Williams, especially that second half of the year. It was almost, people point at, like, why was Cole Kmet not involved? I mean, Keenan was that over the middle target that Caleb was comfortable with. Now you take Keenan out of that, I think that immediately is going to combined with what Ben Johnson likes to do, that's going to lead to a lot more opportunities for Cole Kmet. And yeah, I agree. Like, they're certainly going to have two tight ends on the field a lot. They did that a lot in Detroit. I think they had their second tight end was somewhere right around 50% of snaps for the season. And that's probably going to continue. I know this is going to be a totally new offense, as Ben Johnson says, but that's going to be a big part of this. Certainly, I still think they could look to add another wide receiver. You got DJ Moore. You're paying him big money. I don't think that they're going to add another top of the line guy for big money. You have Romo Dunze there, and you're hoping he steps up as your number two. I wouldn't be surprised if they do make another free agency addition here in the next few days. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at maybe a bargain bin wide receiver three type thing. But certainly that's you need to add something there, whether it's the draft, whether it's free agency. You got Tyler Scott as your third wide receiver right now. I don't think that they're comfortable with that yet. As far as being their top three, I think they're going to bring in some more competition there. But yeah, I mean, I think assuming Keenan Allen is not coming back, which it certainly feels like he's not coming back, I think that's going to open things up for some of those tight ends in the middle there, particularly Cole Kmet.
Yeah, that's my question, is what are they going to do? They have a lot of draft picks. Maybe that's how they fortify that number three wideout spot, given that they didn't. I know that the reps and the distribution probably wasn't what they wanted. That was a lot of options for Caleb Williams when, unfortunately, things up front were not ideal. So I do wonder if they're going to put as many resources into the receiver room as they did last season.
Yeah, they traded for Keenan Allen. Like, yeah, that's a huge addition. Obviously, we all know that, and you're missing out on an 11-year veteran by letting him go. But we also don't really even know if he necessarily wanted to be back. He sure sounds like he wants to be in LA. I don't know if that's going to materialize for him, but I'm sure he wants to be on the West Coast. But yeah, you have options. Just like Ryan Pohl said yesterday. With that number 10 pick, and not saying that they would draft a wide receiver with the number 10 pick, but I'm just saying you have options in the draft. You have options if you want to add somebody, a lower cost wide receiver in free agency. They still have a little bit of wiggle room to do something like that. I wouldn't be surprised if they did both here in the coming weeks and months. I mean, you do have a bunch of draft picks overall. I think you're going to obviously everyone's targeting that number 10 pick for either an offensive lineman or maybe an edge rusher. And I do think that's one of those directions is probably the way they go with that. But you do have a bunch of picks there. You can certainly look to add some wide receiver talent and throw in running back too. I do think that they're going to be looking for another running back, whether that's free agency, whether that's the draft.
Yeah, I think that's a.
It's got to be the draft.
Dan hates spending a lot on running backs.
I would think so too.
Whether it's draft capital or money or even a high draft pick.
It's also this year. Look at all. They're all good. All of these guys are good.
Yes, it's a loaded running back class from everything we're hearing in the draft. And yeah, you know, you're talking about Ashton Jeanty, number 10. I know that's been a conversation, but this is a deep group. You can get one in the second round, third round. You can probably get somebody you like in the fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, I feel like that's fair. And also Dan loves this concept because he just is not a big give money to a running back guy. Aside from Saquon Barkley, maybe. Would you have paid Saquon Barkley, Dan? Dan?
Me, Dan? Yeah. Would I have paid him? Probably not.
Okay, then. There you.
I think the infrastructure is a big thing there. It made so much sense for the Eagles. But if you're the Chicago Bears, you know, the offensive line they had last year, it wouldn't have worked the same way.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, it's also he had been hurt. And I understand, like, after the fact, it looks great. But it doesn't justify every team going, well, now we've got to go spend on running backs, because people learn the wrong lessons from these things.
How about extending him too? How about the fact that they tacked on a couple more years?
I know.
Oh, you get to the Super Bowl, you win one, everybody's happy.
Flags fly forever. I get that.
Everybody's happy.
I get that. Those parades, those trophies, those fly forever, and I understand it. I do not have a problem with it. When are we going to learn more about exactly what Dennis Allen's defense is going to look like? We know the types of players that he likes. Mm-hmm. We know it's a 40 front. But we're coming off of a very keen understanding of sort of a classic Tampa 2 base defense. This seems like it's certainly something other than that.
Yeah, it certainly seems like they're going to want to do multiple things and do multiple things well. You know, the Bears are going to, by virtue of you know, getting a new head coach, they get a little extra mini camp in mid-April, about a month from now, probably. I would hope that we get to hear from Dennis and the rest of the coordinators a little bit then, and maybe get a little bit better idea of that. And also, we'll hear from some of the veteran players who are at those camps and get some sort of idea from them of what their new defensive coordinator likes, what he values, what he's looking for, especially up front. You know, you add some new pieces in there. You hear from some of the guys who were in Eberflus's scheme and now they're getting adjusted to Dennis Allen's scheme. I think that will kind of be our first glimpse, but really, you won't get a real good sense until training camp, unfortunately.
Well, and we know that we're expecting to hear from Dio Odembo today. So I would be curious to see how he thinks he fits in on this defense, but it really sounds like the Bears wanted to get him based on, even though the sacks are not huge in the numbers that are recorded, he was able to pressure the quarterback well during his career so far.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing Grady Jarrett said yesterday too. A quarterback pressure is sometimes just as good as a sack. You know, you're still affecting the quarterback in there. You're getting him to move from his spot, and that affects the whole timing of the play and everything. So yeah, definitely when you talk to some of those guys on the defensive line, they know how important that is, whether you're getting to the quarterback and getting the sack or not. And you know, he's a guy, Dio, who he did have 8 sacks a couple of years ago. I know that the numbers weren't super impressive. I think it was 3 last season. Okay, that's fine. But you've seen him do it at a decently high level when he was not necessarily a starter. You know, 8 sacks coming off the bench, that's a pretty good number. You'd like what he can do in your rotation. I think you add a guy potentially at the number 10 pick and you're feeling really good about that group.
Let me ask you this about the way the Trib is configuring the Bears team this year.
Yeah.
If you're the beat reporter, who's slotting into what role between, you know, Weederer and Biggs and everybody, the army of people that they have covering each game?
Yeah, I mean, look, first of all, I'm just super excited to get working with Brad Biggs and Dan Weederer. That's a really, really appealing part of this job. I want to learn from those two guys, and I'm happy to be alongside them. You know what? Brad has obviously, we all know the work that Brad does. He does a really great job for the beat. And you know what, he writes about what he wants to write about, and I say okay. And then of course Dan and I are going to be splitting up some of that other stuff together. And look, those two guys have seniority on me. I'm the new guy stepping in. I'm just here to say yeah, man, I'll do whatever.
How do you feel about like hard rock opens for you know, if you're appearing on a radio show and yeah, you talk football with us?
You might have your own open at some point.
Yeah, yep. Sean, what kind of music are you into?
You know what? I'm into whatever whatever gets the people excited.
Okay. I would say that because of the Brad Biggs open that we have, of course, on
Sean Hammond.
Sean Hammond talks football with you.
We can workshop it.
Okay, that's not a no, so I like where we're going.
All right, but
with
if you
this.
Had your choice, forget the audience for a second. If you had your like intro music, what would get you fired up?
Well, see, you know, I listen to all sorts of things. I honestly do. I'm all over the place. My workout playlist is like a little bit of rap, a little bit of random stuff. And then at home, I'm actually a super chill guy. So like I'm more mellow a lot of times, but I'm open to anything. I just like good music.
Okay.
That's fair. I see the thought process there. Is there anything that your focus is in particular, say for what you hear later today coming out of Hallis Hall? What are you pointing to?
Today, I mean, I'm excited. I hope we're expecting to hear from Drew Dahlman, the center. I think that'll be an interesting one. I know there's been floated out there the idea that he maybe took less money to come to Chicago. That is certainly something that you want to pick his brain about and see why he wanted to be here, why this was such an important spot. I am sure Ben Johnson is a big part of that, but definitely that. And yeah, I mean, Dio is a super intriguing guy just because of the potential, kind of like we talked about. And I want to hear from him why he feels like this Dennis Allen defense is a good fit for him and how that could maybe, help with some of the potential that he has too. You know, how is that going to help his game and help him finish the job on some of those pressures and get those sacks?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that both of those questions, I'm sure we're going to hear something about them today, but especially the money component when it came to Dahlman's contract, because as we know, it's still a lot of money, but given the market that there was for him, I'm very curious to hear what the answer would be.
Yeah, you would think that would be a conversation about a team like the Chiefs or the Eagles. You know, why the Bears? And I think I'm sure Ben Johnson is a big part of that. And obviously they've really invested in that offensive line. That was obvious a week ago when they made those trades. I imagine that maybe made it even more appealing when you're bringing in a Joe Tooney. We'll have to see what he has to say on all that.
Sean Hammond, this is fun. So good luck with everything. And I know we'll hear more from you as the Bears get rolling.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Oh, great to hear from you, Sean. I've followed you on Twitter for a while, but it's nice to talk football with you.
It definitely is.
Nice. Well done. that is Sean Hammond now of the Chicago Tribune. We're going to talk a little bit about the Cubs in Japan because we mentioned some of the spectacle that's finding its way into our social media feeds. I want more.
Yeah.
I don't need a still photo of Justin Turner in a kimono. Like that's fun.
Well, and the better question is to our listeners, have you even seen it?
Right.
Let's get into that a little bit.
Why isn't there more of this? I know that the timing isn't perfect, but come on.
And also, what I was hearing with Sean was describing his type of music. What I'm hearing is King Gizzard. That's what I'm hearing. Because they're all over the map. So what I'm hearing is King Gizzard.
See, I like the fact that you will default to that if nobody says specifically what they want, that's automatically King Gizzard.
Well, because they hit every genre. So well, they haven't really done rap, but they've hit, like hip-hop-ish kind of stuff. So, yeah, I'm hearing King Gizzard in there.
I can't see Tanny's face sitting behind you, but I would. Yeah, I knew he was laughing. The wheels are already turning on the
King
Gizzard production staff.
He's not a King Gizzard guy. It's disappointing.
No. I know Radiohead back there.
I know what I would do.
I love Radiohead.
I know what I would. I don't. I guess I appreciate them, but I don't like them.
I mean, In Rainbows, Okay Computer, just
I know they're
Okay Computer is a brilliant album.
Unbelievable.
I know they're brilliant. I know they're considered important musical geniuses. I just don't like listening to the music they make. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's like going to a 7-course meal that you just don't think is that good.
I am turning the radio off now.
No, I'm not going to yuck your yum, but I'm just going to say it's not for me.
Like, I don't know what to do with fancy foam on my food. You know, like the it'll be like something I can't pronounce with something two ways with foam, and the foam has a flavor. I don't know what to do there. Like, I'm a bad Alinea guest, you know? I would be like, okay, this is cool and all, but give me Britney Spears, you know?
She's fine. Well, now that's what's her name? Tate McRae.
Is Britney Spears fine now?
Tate McRae is cool.
Tate McRae is the new Britney Spears. Oh.
Yeah, she rocks.
I feel like she's super talented in everything.
I saw her live at Lala last year. She was great.
She was great on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, the carp loved her.
Who did?
The carp in the water.
Oh.
Yeah, Tate McRae, they liked her in the Chapel Round.
That carp?
Wait, what else? Was bass? Not the bass. Bass, yeah.
Carp, what's wrong with you?
My bad.
Don't do this.
That was a swear word saying the wrong fish.
Don't let him turn you into Jason. Don't do it. Don't let him do it.
You think I'm fishing for carp?
I don't know what you're fishing for. I don't know.
Come on, man. No, today, I don't know.
Don't let him yell at you like you're his kid.
Seriously. And my kid loves Tate McRae, too. Also.
Don't punch him in the arm and then do a Bulls podcast with Robbie. I'm not having it.
I can't get physical with him because it's a workplace thing.
But just, you know, you can't be in a podcast about the Bulls together with a wacky keyframe on YouTube either.
The people on Twitch are asking when we're going to have a game of catch.
I'm willing. Arm feels
good.
You
want to play some catch?
Arm feels good. Just trying to help the ball.
I want you to take me fishing. How about that? I know nothing about it.
I can come with me today.
Okay.
The laugh
really?
In the background. Do you really want to do this?
I do want to go fishing. I would love to go fishing with
that. I've already promised Aunt Heron that I'm taking Bishop fishing. I've already told him that we're going
to
do
that. Tell Bishop
to
get out. I want to be Bishop.
I bet you do.
Bishop has strength.
I was going to say, so you start getting recruiting letters already for multiple sports.
Yeah.
Right? So we're going to talk Cubs when we come back on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Bernstein.
Eventually, they stop growing.
Marshall Harris.
I've stopped growing physically, but not mentally, I hope.
That's a lovely sentiment.
Yeah.
Of course, we're all trying.
I'm just here to grow with you guys. Grow.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
At our place, we're really trying to grow the man.
Middays, 10 till 2.
Yeah, I mean, I think Matt Shaw is going to Japan. That's probably the news, the big news.
Probably, I don't know, something
we're
cool.
We're going to Japan. That's it. So I'm Craig Council, and I approve this message.
So Marquee posted a photo of Justin Turner in a kimono, but they spelled it Komono, K-O-M-O-N-O, instead of Kimono with an I, which is appropriate and
Wait,
proper.
Wait, what's that town in Indiana?
Kokomo.
Oh, my bad.
It's not Kokomo, and then I thought Komodo Dragon.
I thought Kokomo was a Beach Boys song.
Also,
it is. Aruba, Jamaica. Ooh, I want to take you. Bermuda, Bahama. Come on, pretty mama. See? You know, it doesn't get much better than that. Ugh. Never seen that.
I love that song.
One time I saw the Beach Boys live, and John Stamos was the drummer. That was sick.
He really wanted to be a part of the Beach Boys.
Sweet.
Like, I feel like that was a whole season of Full House plot.
Wait, John Stamos was the drummer for the... Okay.
Well, he had all that experience from Jesse and the Rippers, you know.
Isn't Fred Armisen the drummer for a band? The former, the SNL guy, the comedian?
To the internet.
Yeah, I think he is. I think he's in some band, and I forgot what it was. But the picture was great, because you have this giant leprechaun wearing a kimono, and then you saw all the Shota stuff, but...
The old 97s?
Why are we...
Trench Mouth?
Yeah. Yeah, he's played with all those... Fred Armisen's played with all those bands.
Okay.
Why aren't we seeing more of, like, the Cubs' Japan adventure?
This is a deeper discussion, I think. But it goes back to also, A, that's a very expensive place to travel to if you're trying to be media covering it. But B, Major League Baseball should be stepping in to help distribute the message. I've seen really wonderful posts on social media from Taylor McGregor on Instagram, for example, people who work with the Cubs showing the behind the scenes and what Major League Baseball does to welcome teams to Japan. And this is a bit of similar situation from what we saw with the Cubs traveling to London. There are these really cool ceremonies, very culturally in sync, I think, with what you would expect to see out of those two places. And they do try to celebrate the Cubs being there and the respective teams who are playing the Dodgers and the Cubs. So I think that's worth discussing. Yes?
So
what's going on?
This breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. Bob Nightingale of USA Today just tweeted, "The Chicago Cubs, looking for starting rotation depth, have now entered negotiations on a one-year MLB contract with veteran Lance Lynn."
Have him start crosstown.
No likey. No thank you.
I need the White Sox.
The last thing they need is another guy.
Realized.
They don't need another guy throwing 90. He will get his absolute, I can't say that. His something lit in Wrigley Field.
I think it's on the Rangers hat.
Yes, exactly. He will get his Tejas torched. Yes, whatever is on the Rangers hat, that exactly is what's going to happen to him at Wrigley Field. No thank you. A fly ball pitcher? I mean, the fact that Shota got through last year as well as he did was great. That is a bad fit.
Well, I think it just says more about who do they think isn't going to be available? Like, how do you put that starting rotation
But you got this
together?
Great defense behind you, all these gold glovers behind you, and you want a fly ball pitcher? Come on, man. No.
Well, Shota, Boyd, and then that's just a lot of meatballs.
No, that, yeah, right?
Perhaps it is simply a depth move.
Meatball machine.
It's a bad one, though.
But is there somebody not ready that we don't know?
I know Assad's, he's starting off the year hurt.
Yeah, Assad, okay. Yes. But you're still looking at probably Imanaga, Steel, Tyone, Boyd. Like, what's going on with Colin Ray, for example?
What about Jordan Wicks, too? I don't know what he's doing.
And that's very interesting.
No, thank you. No. No, we don't need hard hit fly balls in Wrigley Field. Unless they know something about the weather that I don't. If the wind's like today, they'll be fine, but...
That wasn't good.
But most of the long-term weather projections are saying that things are going to normalize this year as far as the wind patterns go.
Wow, 920, that is a savage text. Jamie Moyer wasn't available.
Whoa!
Okay, so I guess getting back to the point about Japan, this is a trip that is filled with incredible visuals. It is a great way to, again, promote Major League Baseball. When the Bulls went to Japan, we saw so many pictures of just Bulls went to Japan. When the Bulls went to
Paris,
France,
yeah.
We saw so many pictures of what they were doing. It was well reported. You got to see it on national and local social media, local TV. There was a lot of video. You got to see exactly what was going on. Why am I only seeing this stuff in a limited amount of places?
I don't know. If I were Marquee, I mean, like you say, it's not cheap, But wouldn't you invest a little money in sending an extra crew entirely? I know you're sending people to cover the team, but you got to lean in to the experience and maybe a little bit of the silly. Why don't you say, hey, Ryan Dempster, you're going to have a camera crew. Go be like Anthony Bourdain. Go taste things. Go walk around. Talk to people. And we'll edit it afterward. But just do a no reservations type show with Ryan Dempster. And have him try stuff. And have him walk into a yakitori place. And have him go for street food. And have him just experience it. Just, that's the kind of stuff where you get all this texture.
Well, even on trips like this, I know we've got Alex Cohen talking about the flight, right? I'm curious to know how the flight was. Let's listen to that.
I mean, the flight was 12 hours of joy. I mean, and you could tell there's a palpable energy with the team and with the coaches and with their families that this is just a really unique experience, just being able to do this, break up the monotony of spring when you would normally be in Mesa, Arizona, and instead you're going to Tokyo, Japan, and playing, you know, two Napoleon League baseball teams and then the Los Angeles Dodgers. So there was a palpable excitement on the plane. And then when you get to the hotel, they have an organist at the top of the hotel playing Go Cubs Go. And, you know, people are cheersing with sake. And it's just, it's a really fun atmosphere and everyone's really excited. Today, people just went around. They went to the fish market that's 20 minutes away. They went to Shibuya, which is a big street crossing. A lot of people went to like a coffee shop, which is 15 minutes away. They have a famous pour over coffee here. So I think the players just were able to experience the culture and experience that with their families. And, you know, tomorrow comes the first workout and then the baseball starts. So it's really been a fun yet chaotic 24-hour stretch. It's going to be even more fun in the next 24, 48, 72 hours.
Okay, so I would like to see all of these things. I would like to see the visuals from being in Japan. I just don't want MLB had a picture of Shohei Ohtani standing in front of a like nondescript wall in Japan saying he has returned. I don't want just a picture, guys. I want the video of this. Share the experience with people.
Have you ever seen the Tokyo Fish Market before?
No.
It's like when you watch Wicked Tuna and they pull the boats in and they put the grades on, like the super highest grade stuff that they get there, whatever, like $27 a pound. And, you know, he looks at the core and he looks at the tail cut and everything. Like that stuff is immediately frozen and like overnighted to Tokyo. And they bring it out and the giant frozen dressed bluefin tuna, and the bidding is it's dark because it's absolutely all the restaurants are coming for stuff that they're getting for that day at the most expensive stuff, and it's crazy to watch.
The first video I found of the past 24 hours of Major League Baseball posting on Twitter of the Japan trip is a hallway at the airport of Shota Imanaga and Seiya Suzuki walking through. Sometimes these airports have crowds. When I was in Taiwan with the Rockets, when Jeremy Lin played, I can't describe to you the thousands of people who were there overnight at the airport to welcome him. They had his fat heads, you know, the mm-hmm. big head decals. They had signs. They had jerseys. They had everything. They had noisemakers. It was a wonderful sight. Even the posts that I've seen from Taylor's Instagram. I shouldn't have to go to Taylor's Instagram when Major League Baseball has an account to know what's going on with the Cubs in Japan. This is ridiculous.
The whole point of doing this is to share it. The whole point of doing this is to fan the flames, bang the drums, as my friend Connie Kowal always used to say. You know, make everybody aware. That's the point of it. Say, hey, how cool is this?
The Major League Baseball experience in and of itself is cool. The flights are cool. Being at batting practice is fun. You get wonderful conversations every day at a ballpark. Why can't you share this stuff properly?
The Cubs shared a video of Seiya Suzuki with a samurai sword hitting batting practice, and all of the balls are split in half.
That's hilarious.
It looks great, but he should have charged the mound.
Could you imagine that pitcher
with
would be like
samurai sword?
No. Yeah, but the pitcher also has Hunso steel.
Oh, he pulls it out too? Oh.
Yes. So he charges the mound, and not only does he have the katana, it was made by Hattori Hunso himself, and there are only two left.
I think that's Kill Bill.
Oh. Yeah, that's a plot of Kill Bill, yeah.
But my whole point is, I shouldn't have to just find this stuff in specific places. You know how to platform your Major League Baseball. Or wait, maybe you don't. And that's part of the problem.
See, I would argue they don't know how to platform.
That's my issue with all of this. Put it everywhere when it comes to content. Put it on every single platform, every single outlet. MySpace, Facebook. I don't even know what other antiquated forums there are. Everywhere. Share this with everybody you can because you don't know who's consuming what on where. But you should. It's just silly to me.
MySpace still exists. Oh, my God.
I just threw it out there to make
Tom
it
my
I don't
friend.
Like the way this looks at all. This is
Who's
so different.
Who's in the top eight?
What's the top eight?
Your top eight friends.
Yeah,
so like when they go to your change or your page.
I want to see this everywhere. Yeah. But my goodness.
I would rank it daily, and I would rank all of my friends, and I'd let them know where they stood in my life.
Were they actual baseballs he was actually slicing through for real?
Yes.
And on what platform is that video? What social media outlet?
That would be on X, Twitter, whatever. And it was on the Cubs page.
Okay. I have a video.
1.7K reshares. So that's good.
All right. We're up to 3.2 million because the Cubs know how to post video of their baseball players being in Japan. If only Major League Baseball took the same cue.
You know, that they're not interested. That's up to Mike Trout to promote himself. It'll be up to the Cubs to promote themselves. Those couldn't have been real baseballs. There's no way that he was actually cutting them completely in half.
I mean, they kind of look like they're baseballs cut in half. Oh, no, you can see the core and everything. Get Meredith Wills on those.
That's a liability, though, to have Saya do that.
Oh, you mean a legal exposure, you think?
Well, just like, what if he just like let go or like something happened? He just cuts himself a samurai sword.
He
or,
looks pretty confident with this thing.
Or do you remember, was it Tyler Colvin that got his lung punctured by the shard of a bat? Remember the bat broke off and helicoptered at him when he was leading off a third? And it impaled him? It could be really bad if a guy's swinging with a samurai sword. Whoops! And he Addison Russells that thing. Next thing you know, someone's head's off.
I might be buying for it. People are saying it's fake.
When Grady Jarrett,
it's got to be fake. I don't believe you. I don't believe that somebody can stand there. I don't care how sharp the samurai sword is. You are not slicing up. And you know how perfectly you'd have to get it?
You
I'm
know,
not buying it.
But here's the thing. So we're talking about a potentially fake video on the Cubs Twitter as to what's going on in Japan because we're looking for information as to how their trip is going. Cool.
The Brewers have been doing a bunch of fake videos, too. Really well-done fake videos.
Like, the more I'm watching, I'm doing the deep dive. I'm going frame by frame. I think it's real.
No way. I will bet. I'll bet you a dollar it's not. I will bet you.
There's a lot of dollars being bet on this show, and
what
I kind of like it.
What would you give to see the video from this trip being posted in less than 24 hours?
Next up, I'm going to ask the question once again that Robbie Triano asked us off the air regarding the Chicago Bulls, and then we're all going to publicly admit we're watching the Bulls game tonight. That's next.
You know, obviously I'm concerned, but I just don't know to what degree
right.
It is and probably won't know. They're just trying to keep swelling down, I think, right now. Normal treatment for an ankle sprain and then whatever they decide to do back there. I hadn't really had time to visit with the medical yet on it, but I knew it was his ankle. They told me on the bench. Yes.
Billy Donovan on the injured Josh Giddey. So, unfortunately, this great run from Giddey where he was putting up what... frankly, Robbie Triano called LeBron James numbers.
My God.
And he has been. What is it, 22, 12, 9, a block, and a steal?
Last 10 games, 22.5 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists.
I mean, that's pretty crazy. If you average that for a season, you're all NBA.
Facts. Luka Light.
That's
oh,
a fact.
Oh, my word.
That's what he's been doing.
The takes out of Robbie Triano on Josh Giddey's run.
This is not a bit. I don't know why people don't like his game. I understand on defense there's something different. But like on offense, how can you not? Like when I watch him, I'm like, this guy's good.
Because well, it's inconsistent.
He also got better. Taking that floater out of his game got the most annoying aspect of his game under control. I hated that floater. I hate it. I know why he learned it. But if you're 6'8", this was, again, if you the most recent episode, the latest episode of the Organizations Win Championships podcast, we talked a lot about this, about your question, did the Bulls win the Caruso trade? And Jason went hard. He just said, yes, absolutely they won. He said, Giddey's a better player than Caruso. He's just better. He said, there's a reason why this guy was the number six pick. And what he does, you can't teach.
Offensively, it's not even close, like who is better. And then you have a younger player with control. I understand his contract's up, but you have control with a restricted free agency.
Okay, okay. I'll be the one to be a wet blanket here. The reason why I think a lot of people think that's not the case is because Caruso was one of the few two-way players the Bulls had. He did have an offensive game. He also was crucial into that team's success at the time, knowing that the Bulls could have gotten first-round picks, depending on who you ask, multiple or perhaps one.
That's a different debate. Did they make the right trade?
But that's the point, is knowing what they could have gotten for Caruso.
Whether they made the right trade is a different question. Whether they got enough for him is the question. But I also think, too, to make the argument about, well, Caruso, and I absolutely believe Caruso could play an important role and a very high-profile role on a championship team. So could a lot of the guys on this Bulls team. Almost their entire roster, with a couple exceptions, could be contributing players on a good team. That's not the problem. They don't lack for those guys. They're a whole team of those guys.
Yeah, it's positional redundancy that is a concern.
It's no stars.
It's a lack of two-way players.
It's a lack of stars.
It's a lack of stars. Yeah, it's when you put it all together. Also, I think the piece of it with Caruso is we can't fairly judge a deal not knowing what was offered for him at the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we know with Andre Drummond, that's been widely reported, and we know what ended up happening there.
But if Giddey can get rid of that shot, I'm telling you, if he can get rid of that if you're 6'8", don't shoot that shot. That's for a 6'2 guy. The floater is designed for, you can get past that first layer, and then you got to get, you're 6'8". And I know he's not the most athletic guy in the world, but he's not a bad finisher. He does go high off the glass like Kobe White does. Kobe White's really good at using the high glass. I love that. But and I know he's not going to try to dunk everything. He's not Javante Green. But he doesn't need to move backwards or anything other than toward the basket as a 6'8 finisher.
And I think that that's fair. They also have different spacing now because of Collins. Like that makes a difference to me. I still don't think there's enough movement in their half-court sets.
How so?
Just like something underneath the basket baseline. Like a lot of times it's standing
like flex,
standing around stationary passes and stuff, like, or, you know, some sort of like backdoor cut or something.
They did it a couple times in the last game, but it was a big like banana cut, what they call a blind pig action. As they used to call it. I don't know what they call it now, but like in the Thibodeau offense, the base was always that flex cut.
Yeah.
Like they dribble the guy out of the corner spot. He comes across. Ball reverses as the baseline screen is set up. That's like old Phil Johnson stuff. And people still use it. But I think it has to do with personnel. There isn't a lot of motion in what they do.
No.
But it can be okay if you got the right matchups.
Yeah, the passes are quick. Although off ball, sometimes I'm just looking at people trying to figure out what the plan is, you know? This is nitpicky, but I just figured I would bring it up to you because it's you.
Yeah, I'm going to watch a little closer tonight and see, because if it depends how they're using post-ups too, and whether or not they, because Giddey is not bad as a post passer.
There's two pieces of it to me. It's that Billy Donovan's offenses are always known for when they're successful making the extra pass, but then they also want to shoot so early in the clock. So it's a balancing act.
So how are you watching the game tonight? Are you watching the game with the idea that you still want them to lose? Are you watching the game just enjoying it what it is now? Because I don't think they're going to get out of the 10th seed. I think they are going to be in the play-in, no matter what.
Individual development. I guess I'm not going to be outcome biased as much. If now we're kind of locked into that, there's no reason to be outcome biased and just see our younger players getting better. Is Modis getting better? Is Trey Jones going to matter? Oh, by the way, do you see Cooper Flags in a wheelchair?
It's not good.
I hope it's not the Paul Pierce.
No, it
definitely
is not.
Definitely not, because he actually was holding
saw
his
the
ankle
injury.
And we saw him hobble to the bench.
We saw the injury. And yeah, that is Cooper Flagg being wheeled to and from. Oh boy. Well, that's a change. Get on those brackets and see one round less, perhaps, for the old Blue Devils.
Well, it's Duke. Never mind. The selection committee doesn't even matter. You know what? You know everybody's going there. I know I'm going to watch the Bulls game, and I know they're playing the Nets, but I'm still going to watch because that's what we do.
Are you going to root for them?
I like it when the Bulls win.
Bulls win. Bulls win. Oh, everybody eat some rim. In Brooklyn. Oh, they're home, right? There's not going to be a Brooklyn reference.
They have a... Yeah, they're home. They have a road trip coming up, and I'm trying to figure out why it is such a road trip. Did you know that? The slew of West Coast games, and it's like a fairly long road trip.
Like the old circus trip?
But it's not. That's the thing. Oh. So then what is it? I was trying to figure that out the other day, actually.
The Magic Kingdom will never be the same.
I'm sure not. Next up, John Greenberg of The Athletic has all kinds of witty and entertaining sports thoughts for us on The Score.